The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and today we have a very special guest. But before I get to my first guest, I always like to explain what Project Independence is. Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place. And we do that with the most important number, 311. Dial 311 anytime. You'll be picked up. Somebody will help you. And we have partnerships throughout the town. We have transportation for shopping, transportation for doctor visits, you know, physical therapy, mental stimulation. You can't imagine the stuff that the town provides. Basically, all of it's for free. And it only takes a phone call, 311, to be put in touch with an operator who will direct you to whatever department it is you're going to go to. Part of the services, this is not a Project Independence service. I just want to touch on one thing before I introduce my first guest. Elections. When elections are going on in town, there are debates. And what I have learned this last debate or campaign season is you have to go and listen to some of the debates, because you cannot learn enough about a person than listening to them interact with another person who's opposing them. So it shows character, it shows what they are doing, it shows how they handle themselves. Wayne Wink, who's my first guest today, is the North Hempstead, town clerk for North Hempstead, and just won re-election. So congratulations,
Thank
Wayne.
Thank you very much, John.
And we're not taking sides. He is now the town clerk for the next 4 years. But during the campaign, you'll learn how much stuff goes on in that office, which people wouldn't have known, and I didn't know. But when you're sitting there listening, and it's a nice, interactive kind of thing,
yes,
that it's like, oh, I didn't know that happens there. Oh, I didn't know Wayne does that. And you almost feel stupid when you realize the services that are available that nobody knows about. So good morning, Wayne.
Well, good morning, John. And you know, I mean, there's no reason to feel stupid about not knowing all the intricacies of the town clerk's office, A, because there's so many, and B, because, you know, we all have workaday lives. We're all busy doing our things. Each of us, I think, given the opportunity, would have, you know, would be able to provide a fascinating discussion about the things that they do.
Right. That's true.
In their careers and in their lives. And debates are my real opportunity to do that. And, you know, as a former high school debater, as a as an attorney and whatnot, the debates to me are one of the high points of any campaign, because it's my opportunity to kind of talk about what we've done, talk about what we want to do, and discuss the issues of the day in a way and in a format that allows people to really compare and contrast my vision for the town and my accomplishments for the town versus someone else's accomplishments and visions as well.
Okay. Actually, this is the last compliment, because this is not the Wayne it's not the Wayne show. But honestly, I've gone to many different debates this past campaign, and you see people who kind of lose it. They get cranky. The whole idea of a campaign debate is put your point across succinctly, nicely, not to turn around and give digs and make faces. And it's like, I don't understand why people don't understand this. It's just a conversation, and they're watching every facial expression you make.
Yeah, I know.
So you have to be cool.
No, it's true. It absolutely is. And you know, look, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes the issues of the day, you may not be on the popular side of them all the
right.
time.
Right, that's true.
Even if it's the right thing to do, you may be taking some heat for the position you take. You have to acknowledge and accept the fact that if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with your constituents, they're going to understand that, they're going to recognize that, and even if they disagree with you on one issue, they may agree with you on two others. You know, you never know what one thing is going to make someone vote for or against a particular candidate. So, you know, instead of trying to constantly be on the right side or the popular side of an issue, you really just need to clearly and succinctly describe the position you're taking on, whatever. And if they don't agree with you and that's the one that loses their vote, well, then it wasn't meant to be. But if in totality, you know, I'd like to think in the 16 plus years now that I've been in elective office, and thank God I started when I was 12 years old, but but in the 16 plus years I've been in office, I think the fact that I'm out in the community as much as I am, the fact that I'm constantly interacting with the public and explaining where I am on things and explaining the things I'm trying to accomplish on their behalf, people are willing to cut you slack for the things they don't agree with you on if, in total, they think you're accessible, you understand their problems, and you're working in their best interests.
Right. I agree. Actually, and I've used this phrase a couple of times, it was Ed Koch.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Koch said, if you agree with me on 9 out of 12 things, vote for me. If you agree with me on 12 out of 12, you need a psychiatrist.
Exactly. It's a lot to be said for that.
But actually, in reference to that, 16 years you've been in office.
Yep.
Go through the offices because, you know, sometimes a clerk can become a clerk from different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely have a much broader government experience prior
right.
to getting to this position.
Right. I had the good fortune of starting my career in government as an aide to the town board, which also gave me the opportunity to get to know not only town government but county government because back in the day when I started as an aide to the town board, the town supervisors were not only chief executive officers of the townships, but they were also in legislative capacities on the Board of Supervisors at Nassau County. So I got to learn not only working with my mentor, Barbara Johnson, as a council person, but I also got to work with Ben Zwirn at the time at the county level. And so in the 4 years I was an aide to the town board, I really got a wide I think it was a pretty wide array of experiences on those levels of government. From there, then I helped my mentor Barbara Johnson become a Nassau County legislator. I then went with her to the county, and I was at the county then full time. During all that, I was going to law school. I graduated law school and became deputy counsel to the Democrats on the legislature. I served there for over 4 years. Until Barbara Johnson passed away, and then I made a decision to go into private practice. I did that for a time, missed my experiences in government, and had the opportunity in 2001 to run townwide for the town board.
Okay.
This was before we had councilmatic districts.
And so councilmatic districts?
Single-member districts. Right now, we have a town board that is made up of 6 members who are each elected in their own council districts.
Okay.
Initially, I ran townwide, as did all council members.
Okay.
So in 2001, I had the good fortune of being elected to the town board, and I served in that capacity for 2 years as a townwide councilman, and then the town converted to councilmatic districts. I then ran in what is now and what has always been known as Councilmatic District 4. I had the very good fortune of being elected to District 4, where I served until late March of 2007, and I had the opportunity then to run for the county legislature. So in many respects, I was tracking my mentor's path. She went from the town board to the county legislature, as did I. So I went from the town to the county, back to the town as a councilman, then back to the county as a legislator. I served in the legislature almost 7 years.
The legislature was a special, wasn't it, for you?
It was a special election, right, because my friend and my mentor's son, Craig Johnson, had gotten himself elected to the state senate. So I had the opportunity to run for the county legislative seat. And that gave the Democrats back a majority on the county legislature at the time. All in all, I served on the county legislature for almost 7 years. When redistricting hit, they took my district and divided it up into 5 different districts, which kind of was a hint to me that maybe it was time for me to do something else. I moved on then and was given the opportunity to run for my current position as town clerk. And I've now been in that position over 4 years, and I'm in the beginning of my second term.
Right, okay.
So I've had a good array of experiences, both at the town and the county level. And in those capacities, I've been able to not only learn and practice good governance, I think, at the local level, but also become an advocate on the state level. I'm on the state board of the New York State Town Clerks Association, which helps to advocate for legislation and policy matters on the state level to assist and foster being good town clerks throughout the state of New York. So I am one of about 25 people on the state board who represent the 932 townships throughout the state of New York. to help make sure that town clerks have the resources we need and have the support of our state legislators and our state policies.
Well, I'm just going to go off on a tangent again. I was at a meeting last night where a question was raised in reference to these water wells being opened in the city,
right,
which is not a town clerk's job. I don't mean it the way it sounds, but when the question was asked, Wayne was the one who stood up in the audience to explain 38 million gallons a day, blah, blah, blah. I mean, right, and therefore it was encouraging that you turn around and say, guess what? And that's part of your background.
Right, exactly.
That you're paying attention to all these things.
Right. I had the opportunity to participate in the press conference yesterday with our county executive, two of our state senators in Nassau County, our great town supervisor, Judy Bosworth, several members of our town board, and a number of elected officials, county legislators and otherwise throughout the county, who are very concerned about the possibility of New York City tapping into our aquifers. See, New York City right now has a number of different ways that they can obtain their water. Their largest supplier is the reservoir system in the Hudson Valley. They do have some wells throughout the city, but most of their water comes from these reservoirs. Our sole source of water, and that's why they call them sole source aquifers, is right under our feet. And so if we have a problem with either contamination, saltwater intrusion, or depletion, we have no place else to turn. We are an island. We are surrounded by saltwater, and yet we have ample fresh water currently right below our feet, and we're very fortunate of that, and we need to jealously guard that in order to ensure the future of Long Island. So, you know, you're right. It's not necessarily a town clerk's job to know about our water policies, but I can't help but, A, be a student of history and a student of government, and B, having experienced all of this firsthand dealing with the county and the town as a councilman, I know the value of so many issues besides those of being a town clerk, and I can't just kind of, you know, put those things to the side and just do my job, because I'm also, quite frankly, a resident, a taxpayer, and a concerned citizen of not only our town, but our county, our state, and our country. So, you know, the opinions that I have and the policies that I have, I'd like to think work to the benefit of everybody and don't stop at the town clerk's door.
Oh, it's amazing, because it's very true. I think nowadays you need a person who's well-rounded in all these different, you know, somebody who could be tremendous and they run for office for the first time. There's no history.
Right.
You know, and you know, and I'm not saying you even planned it that way. It's just the way your life has gone.
Right.
Going back and forth, and unfortunately a debt that starts things going and mm-hmm. changes. But that's life.
Yeah.
Nobody knows
yeah.
exactly what's going to happen. And all of a sudden something occurs. You move over here. You move back.
No, I have been truly blessed to be given the responsibility and the opportunity to represent 236,000 North Hempstead residents currently, and over the years I've represented people at the county legislature and on the town board, and I've always had the good fortune of having the confidence of knowing that my constituents are intelligent, they are sophisticated, they're understanding, and like I say, if they agree with me nine times out of ten, then that's great. You know, if the 10th thing is the thing they're going to vote against me for, you know, at least they're educated and
right.
they have a good understanding of what the issues are. So, you know, I have been confident in putting my local career in the hands of my constituents. And thankfully, I haven't disappointed them.
Right. And actually, this past election, you had tremendous numbers, so obviously you're not disappointed. You're not going to get everybody. It's impossible.
Right.
Nobody's
right.
going to win 100%.
Exactly.
So the fact is, when you see good numbers, the majority plus are in favor of what you're doing and look forward to you doing more of the same.
And it's it's a humbling experience, because, you know, I take very seriously the fact that people put that responsibility in my hands.
Okay.
And if I ever get to a point where I start taking the public for granted, A, they're going to notice, and B, I'm going to be on my way out.
Right. That's true.
So
let's go through some of the tasks that happen in the clerk's
Absolutely.
Office, because that's what, you know,
yep.
people want to know about. I know you do the marriages, which is,
right.
I think everybody knows that the town clerk is where marriages get officiated, if I'm saying it correctly.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the town clerk is one of the responsible parties, in fact, the only responsible party within a municipality to issue marriage licenses. So anyone who wants to get married has to go to a town clerk or the city clerks, as the case may be. But they come to us seeking permission to get married, you know, not that we're going to withhold it.
Just one second. You said, well, the city. You have to go to the place where you're a resident. I can't go to
the
city.
No, you don't. Oh. You can get a marriage license anywhere within the state of New York, as long as you're a New York State resident. And you can, but you have to utilize that license and get married within the confines of the state of New York.
Okay.
So, but, you know, I've had people from tiny, tiny townships upstate New York come to me and I perform the ceremonies. Because there's two parts to being a marriage officer. You know, as the Registrar of Vital Statistics, I issue marriage licenses. As a marriage officer, I can perform ceremonies. I don't have to perform the ceremony only for people for whom I've given licenses,
Okay.
I can, as long as there is a valid license in place, I can perform a ceremony within the township of North Hempstead. So anywhere within the town. I can't go into Suffolk County. I can't even go down to the town of Hempstead to perform a ceremony. But anywhere within the confines of my town, I'm empowered to
marry license
people.
Can be gotten any place.
The license can be gotten
any
place.
And you can perform in North Hempstead.
Exactly. Okay. So my licenses, very often, I mean, look, the common thing for a lot of people is to get a marriage license from my office and then have a member of the clergy perform a ceremony. That's probably the most common thing. But in terms of my comparisons with the clergy, I perform a lot more ceremonies than any particular member of the clergy seems to in my town. Just the nature of the thing that I give out the licenses. People want to do the legal ceremony and get that out of the way. So then maybe in some cases they're planning a destination wedding. In other cases, they're planning a big wedding at some point in the future. But perhaps for health insurance purposes or for any personal reasons, they decide to have a ceremony prior to the big ceremony they're going to have. And I am fortunate enough to be able to perform anywhere from about 150 to 200 ceremonies a year in my office personally.
Wow,
and my staff also can perform, my two deputies can perform marriages as well. As can the entire town board of the town of North Hempstead. We're all listed as marriage officers, additional marriage officers. I am officially the marriage officer
for
the town,
though.
So, and in that capacity, we have a very interesting thing coming up on Valentine's Day, where we have put out word to anyone who's been married a long time. We don't set time limits.
Sometimes a year is a long time for some people.
For some, perhaps, right? We've had people come who have been married for 5 years. We've had people come who have been married for 75 years.
Wow.
And we do a ceremony at Harbor Links in Port Washington, and we renew people's vows. And we have usually around 50 couples come down. We do a ceremony for all of them. And then we have a nice luncheon, a champagne toast, an opportunity for dancing, and it becomes a great day on, of course, Valentine's Day.
Oh, the actual day itself?
The actual day itself we do it.
Okay.
Yes, so it's coming up in a couple weeks, and we hope that anyone who's been married a long time, however you define that, have the opportunity to come down and celebrate with us.
That's a 311 call, Christina?
Absolutely.
Okay, so anybody listening or anybody who knows somebody who might want to participate, call 311 to put your name on the list for the Valentine celebration that's going to be on Valentine's Day itself.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that is a nice, you know, I know I've seen the pictures over the years.
Yeah.
And people, they get dressed up, obviously. Yeah. It's a nice event. It's
yes,
a nice
it
afternoon
is.
For everybody.
Yes. And we pray for nice weather. Because we've had everything from an ice storm to a snowstorm to 50-degree weather. I mean, you know, everything in between. So, you know, we hold it irrespective of the weather, and we welcome everybody to come down and enjoy with us.
Perfect. What we're going to do now, we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Wayne Wink.